Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Apostle Crystal Lee. We are here with the Kingdom Ambassadors Worldwide. The Company of Prophetic Intercessors session is live right now. Good morning to all. Come on, unmute you a little bit at a time here. Remember, your line is unmuted on my end, so if you need to mute it on your end, I'm going to need you to do that. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Hey, 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 Prophetess Posey, how are you?
Wonderful.
Good morning.
Good morning, Prophetess Vontina. How are you?
Great.
Great. She said great. I don't know how I feel about that great.
Great, 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 great,
great.
Great. Listening to the anthem.
Listen, I love it, right? Listening to the anthem. It's an amazing morning. Father, we thank you for a new day. Day that we've never seen before and a day that we'll never see again. We pray today that we identify how to maximize part of the day that you've given us. You declared in your word that you give us our daily bread. Well, that's all we want to eat today. That's all we need for sustenance. You're giving us daily. So we're thankful for what today's bread is, whatever it is you're releasing, whatever it is you're revealing, whatever direction it is you're taking us. We are thankful for that because we know that your outcomes for us are of a good and expected end. Your mind toward us is that of only good and not evil. So anytime we're even looking at what the circumstances look like, what the situation is, we can recognize there may be some facts before us, but the truth is what you have already declared concerning us and decreed over us from our beginning. So we operate in truth today. Thank you for your wisdom. You said if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of you. You're going to give it to us liberally. We need it. We need it. We need it today. We need your wisdom. We need your wisdom of the day. We need your wisdom for our lives. We need your wisdom for direction. We need the wisdom of the day. We don't want to miss any moment today because we understand that missed moments interrupt momentum. We thank you today that you're causing us to identify the moments that we need to be in, so that we will gain the momentum that we need to move in the direction of destiny, to move in the direction of promise. We thank you right now for the warfare even that's taking place, because we know that every situation, every circumstance, even the things that we got ourselves in, you said that you would cause all things to work together for our good because we love you. And we are the called according to your purpose. So because you have a purpose for us, because you called us, because you caused us to be alive for the purpose that you put in us, and we love you, we thank you that even the things that were negative to us are now being employed by us. They work for us. It's something special about when you leave a place, you know, or you've been mistreated or whatever, and you turn around and then the boss coming to your job for an interview. Our issues, our former circumstances, the things that we thought were negative are now coming to us to be employed by us. To be employed by us. We are thankful today. Hallelujah. We are thankful. It's a new day. and next day is ahead of us. It's a new day. And so we're thankful for the divine warfare frequency of sons. We're thankful for what the Father has downloaded in us for this resounding and this rebounding. I'm going to tell you something about that resounding and rebounding. Every time I say it, it does something different to my spirit. It just kind of hit different. You know how the Father will say a thing, and when he says it the first time, you're repeating it. But the more you talk about it, the more understanding you get or the more revelation you gain. This resounded. It reminds me of when the children of Israel were in Egypt, and they began to make a sound. They began to cry out, and in their cry, the Father began to hear and to remember the promises that he had made to their forefathers about this victory that he was going to bring them to, the fact that they were going to go into captivity, but he was going to rescue them. And it was when they began to resound, when they began to cry out, when they began to release a sound, he remembered and he began to cause the necessary steps for their rebound, for them to come back from that captive place. Physically, they were out of the captive place. However, from a mental perspective, and that's really one of the areas where a lot of people are struggling at, we are really needing to deal with our mental well-being. Our mental health is really under fire. That's what the adversary is after. He's after our mental health. He's after our mental position because he knows that that's the place where all of the images are formed. And when we are forming images, we are manifesting. We are creating. We are talking about it. We are just meditating on it. And this is the place that the adversary is after. And so we're going to pick up where we left off from yesterday. I had some things. We were talking about the tribe of Reuben, and we're talking about the dark psychology of the 10 spies. Anybody know about the 10 spies? They were the ones that were chosen to go into the promised land to survey the land. It was a command that was given. And when they came back, only two of them came back with the right report, and that was Caleb and Joshua. The rest of the spies came back with a negative report. And when we say negative report, we're not just talking from the perspective of somebody just said something and it was just, you know, it just wasn't kind. No, negative report in the fact that this report that they began to share from each of their mouths, you know, each of them had a different angle, a different perspective. And this is why the Father's taking us back through this, because when we were looking at Reuben, as we were looking at the tribe of Reuben, we noticed that one of the things that Reuben was renowned for was being renowned, being, you know, that person that had influence on the level where he could, it was almost like unbelievable, you know, the way that he could use his words, you know, what he was saying. It was like, you know, you put your hand over your mouth, you're gasping for air, because the whole intent of his way of moving was to change the narrative. And the revisionist part of that, you know, that spirit of revisionism, where this is what was said, but we're going to revise it. Not only are we going to revise it, but we're not going to recall, or we're not going to remember the detail or what really happened. We're not going to really give credit where credit is due. And that's one of those areas where we have really, along our journey, that's where we've missed the mark, when we felt like we overcame. Okay, we did overcome, but it was through him that we overcame. And we're missing the whole point. You know, missing the punchline of this situation, that it was him that brought us out. It wasn't us. It was him that brought us out. And when we miss the fact that all of the things that we've been through, it was him that delivered us. I know we were caught up in our stuff. You know what I'm saying? We were caught up in a lot of stuff. But the things that we, the bullets that we missed, the bullets that we dodged, all of that stuff, that wasn't because we were so savvy or so smart. It was because he loved us. It was because he was not willing to allow the enemy just to ride in over our head and to utterly take us out. He was not willing. Even when we were not giving him the credit that was due to him, he was like, you still mine, though. My hand is still on you, and I'm going to cover you. Now, there are some things that you put into place that you're going through because of this seed that you've sown. But even the harvest that we've received of some things, it was nothing like what we could have received had we not been chosen, had we not been his, had we not, you know, desired to be in relationship with him. So, you know, it's about identifying. And this is what Reuben came to do, to change the identification of the thing. But what I want to go back to, because there were some things that came up about Reuben today that made me feel the need to go back to the beginning of Numbers and just begin to read. Now, there was a highlight scripture that he gave me for today, and I want to share that because I think that this is pertinent information. I may share a couple of verses, but there was a very specific conversation had in Numbers chapter 11. This was right before they got to the land, right? And it said this, and when the people complained, it displeased Yah. And when the people complain, so we know that complaining is not connected to faith. Complaining is connected to a loss of identity. It's connected to an inability to see. Complaining is connected to not being able to visualize what the Father has already spoken to us. If he's given us a word and we have heard the word, but we are complaining about what he's spoken, that means we don't have vision for what he's, and yesterday we were talking about this, being able to hear the word and then have the imagery for what's being spoken, you know, being able to create the vision of that thing. You know how somebody will say something to you and you can envision what they're saying? You know, they're telling you a story about maybe their childhood or whatever, and you can go, based on their words, you can go back. The way they're telling it, it gives you a depiction. It gives you an image, you know, gives an imagery of what the location might have looked like and all of that. Well, this is what's necessary when we're reading the word of Yah, is that we begin to get pictures or images. Not so much the memorization. We talked about this yesterday. Not so much the memorization as it is the retaining of the word that creates the images, so that we'll have an understanding of the person. We'll have an understanding of the scenarios. We'll have an understanding of what to do and what not to do. But Numbers 11:1, there go that 111, that's the door. It says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Father. It displeased him. So now they've gone through, and one of the reasons why I believe we're going to be reading from chapter 1 on up to chapter 13 is because you got to see the history of this. I mean, I would that we would even go back to Exodus, you know, but you got to see the history of the thing, and that's the purpose of reading, so you can see the history. So when you look at the history of what was going on with them, when you look at the history of their freedom from this captive place physically, he physically brought them out of this captive place, took them a specific way, remembering that the promised land was only an 11 days journey, okay? They turned it into a 40-year experiment science project, right? But it was only an 11 days journey the way that he took them. And he did not take them intentionally the shorter way, because what he said in his heart, of course, this is the Father always protecting us, can't take them that way yet. They're not ready for that. So, you know, often we're talking about skipping steps, right? If there was a skipping of steps in that situation, he said they would have been horrified and wanted to run back to their captivity. Okay, we know that they talked about going back the whole time, but he knew that if he took them this way, he wasn't going to have the time that he needed to really express himself, to really prove himself, to really show himself, which is what he spent his time doing from the time he brought them out, from the Exodus on up until them reaching this promise. Everything about what they had experienced was showing his life. Strength, his power, his authority, his love, his compassion, his protection, all of that. I mean, if you just think about the wilderness situation, all the amount of things, creatures, all kinds of things that are in the wilderness, and they're not attacked by anything, that's the fire by night and the cloud by day. His glory, his doings are over them, whether it's day or night, he's protecting them, and they're complaining because they don't get it. But you remember in that season when they began to complain, and he removed himself. Well, what happened? The fiery serpents came out and started biting them. It wasn't that the fiery serpents weren't already in the wilderness. They were there already. They didn't just show up. He didn't command fiery serpents to do something. They removed themselves from his protection through their complaint. They pissed him off. He's like, okay, so y'all don't understand what my protection is providing for you. You don't understand how I'm providing for you. So because you don't respect or understand it, you're complaining about it. And when I take my hand out the way, then maybe you'll understand it. It got to a point, you know, I'm giving correction. Now, you know how he feels about correction, because the Father chastens those he loves. He chastens his sons. If he's not chastening you, if he's not chastising you, there's no love there. There's no love there. He got to a point where he said, you know what, I'm not even going to correct y'all no more, because correcting y'all get worse and worse and worse. He's like, it's no point. It's no point. I'm done. You know, I'm just done. So we want to go back. There's some things about Reuben that we need to identify with. particularly how this lineage, you know, how these family connections are, because when I look at the tribe of Reuben, I look at the society that we live in, but a lot of these sons that brought back the negative report out of the 10, you can just see the culture that we're in. You'll notice it as we're discussing the different identities and the different personalities and the different attitudes and all that. You'll notice that we're right there with these wicked families that, you know, attempt to run the earth, right? But it's just amazing to me to just look at Reuben and to notice that from generation to generation, they're passing down a wicked mantle. And so you look at Reuben, then you got Korah, which comes out of that. And, well, at least they were not. They were connected, Dathan and Abiram. They were connected to Reuben. And those were the ones that revolted in that Korah revolt against Moshe. So it's just a constant passing down of the same spirit of a thing. And so one of the things that we've got to be mindful is that we're understanding what report we should be listening to. That's in any time in our life. You know, from henceforth, now, forevermore, we got to identify what report we're listening to, because there are a lot of things that people can say that's facts, but it's not the truth. You can say facts and it not be the truth. Even if you don't feel well in your body, that might be a fact, but the truth is that the Father said that you were healed by his stripes. So either you identify that, you remain in your illness or your sickness or whatever it is. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It just is what he says it is, or you could just have whatever it is that you're saying you want. I'm going to open up the line and let you guys share. I want you to go back, Prophetess Posey, to the orange door dream, and then let's pick up there because we want to share in that spot.
Okay, so with the orange door, well, the house was orange, and it was, I was standing at the door speaking to the people through the door. We weren't allowed to go inside. That was a vision, and that was why you were speaking. And then I also saw the castle edge, the square edge of one of the castle tops, and then I saw a bow hanging it went from hanging on one spike to doing it being two spikes. It was hanging on with somebody hanging on there, as if to see if they could, if the spike will hold them up. And then again, I saw the coyote and the sheepdog doing their jobs in regards to the cartoon. And at the end of the day, they would punch out and say, okay, we'll see you tomorrow, to do the same thing the next day. So those are the three visions that I saw while you were speaking yesterday.
Okay. The castle piece, the bow was hanging on the
spike.
On the spike.
Edge of
you said someone hanging from the bow?
It was like, I just saw really the bow, but but the impression was to see if it will hold you for whatever reason.
Okay. Okay. I want to go back to the orange door because I intended to re-listen to that, but you were saying that was a place that you were not supposed to go.
Yeah, it's an orange house.
You were told
like
not to go there.
Correct. It was an orange house on our block, the only orange house, and it was brick. And the house was a white family living there, or say Caucasian family living there. And they, you know, we were friendly with them, but we just were not allowed to enter into their home. So we would stand out on the porch and, you know, talk to them through the window or through the door.
Mm-hmm.
So we weren't allowed to go in, but yeah.
But in a dream, you saw yourself standing on the porch.
In the vision, yeah, I was just standing on the porch. Talking through the door to the people that were there. But it was just me. The vision was just me standing on the porch at the door of the house. The house was the whole house was like orange. It's funny, but the whole house was orange. And it's a brick house. Like the whole house, I think it was brick. Yeah, it was a brick house.
Now my question is, the instruction that was given to you, because I think this goes back to instructions and dealing with instructions.
Not allowed to go into the house. We were not allowed to go inside.
But you were allowed to go on the porch?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Well, I know we had all those rules because there was places that we couldn't go, and even family members' houses, you know. I think a lot of people are taking those kind of things off the table because they feel like wherever the kids want to go, just let them go because that gives them a break. But there are measures of protection that come with instructions. For me,
yeah.
If I can't go in the house, I probably shouldn't be on the porch, if that makes sense, you know.
Yeah.
Because if there's something that I'm being protected from, then I don't need to be that close to it. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, but well, I hear what you're saying. But like I said, we were allowed because the way the houses were made, where we were living, we could literally look up the street almost from corner to corner, and you could see everybody's porch. You could see everybody on the porch
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. So, my grandparents or my aunts and uncles could see me. You know, me and my cousins when we were out playing. So
mm-hmm.
we can go on, you know, like I said, we can go on the porch, but we weren't allowed to go inside home. So, you know,
we were allowed to
be outside on the porch. Mm-hmm.
Right. You know what that brought me to? Because the other day, and this is something that I'm going to walk through, but the other day, this story came up. Now, you know, there are all of these different kinds of stories that we grew up with, but a lot of people don't really understand that these stories are not, they call them fiction, but they're based on reality, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they have these messages in them to help us along our journey. Right? When you start talking about that particular dream or vision, what it took me to was this story about the wolf and the goat, baby goat. And in this particular story with the wolf and the baby goat, there was an instruction that the mother goat gave to her kids, you know, goats are called kids. She gave to her kids. She said, when I leave, don't open the door for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Don't open the door for anybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when she said, I'm going to the store to buy food, and when I leave, don't open the door for anybody. I don't know why this story is so, you know, reminiscent to me of that. But this is the instruction that the mother goat gave, right? When she left, there was a knock at the door. Of course, the wolf found his opportunity. What do we say about the adversary? He's always seeking whom he may devour. He's roaming about, right? Roaming about, seeking whom he may devour. The wolf finds
mm-hmm.
his opportunity. He shows up at the door, and he knocks. Now, remember the mother's instruction, and I think this is, like, going to be across the board something that's going to stick with us concerning even the conversation that we're having. Because remember what the father said to the children of Israel. But I want you to remember right now what the mother goat said to her baby goat, right? She said, when I leave, don't open the door for nobody. Okay. Somebody knocks at the door. Of course, it's a wolf, right? Because he finds opportunity. Now it's his chance to get to these baby goats. Mother is gone. So when he knocks, they go to the door and say, who is it? Okay, so now why this is feeling like it's connected is because, like, for me, again, if I can't go in, I probably shouldn't even go to the porch because it's something you're protecting me from. So I need to be further away from it than I need to be closer to it. But I'm saying that to say that a lot of times when there were supposed protective measures put in place, because there were concessions made for how close I could get to a thing, but I can't do, you know what I'm saying? So we learned a way of doing things, a way of handling things. I may not be able to go in, but I can get near it, if that makes sense. You'll understand it better.
I get it.
Yeah, you'll understand it better and better as the story goes on. So, first of all, they respond to the knock at the door. Who is it? Well, if you're not answering the door, that means you're not answering by voice or by opening it. Okay? They say, who is it? They say, and the wolf says, it's your mother. So here they go, talking too much. And that's what we get in trouble, right? We're talking. We're saying too much. We're giving too much information. They say, you're not our mother, because, first of all, they told what their mother said. Our mother said to open the door for anybody when she leaves, right? So now he's got that information. And then they say, and our mother's feet are as white as snow. Your feet are not white. They can see the wolf's feet under the door. Your feet are not white. So what have they just done? They gave the wolf intel that could allow the wolf to go and create another scenario, right? He's going to go create another scenario now. He's going to go in town. He's going to find him some flour at the baker's, and he's going to throw this powder on his feet. He's going to go back. His voice is going to be a little bit sweeter because they already told him his voice wasn't like their mother's. Her voice is sweet and all of that. So he comes back. Now he's got a sweeter voice and white feet. He knocks on the door. They're still talking. He says, it's your mother, in a sweeter voice, right? They're like, oh, it must be our mother. Her voice, the voice is sweet, and the white is on the feet. But the thing that she said when she left was, when I leave, don't open the door for anybody. Don't answer the door. Don't open the door for anybody. So it's those little areas, I believe, that we enter into where there's so much concession being made, even though this, well, we can do this. And we grow up making those concessions. You know, we grow up based on the training that we received in areas. And it seems simple, but it's real. You know what I'm saying? This is a simple situation, but that's a real situation. If you know, you watch your mother rob Peter to pay Paul her whole life, what are you going to do with money? What's your relationship going to be with money? It's going to be the same thing. If your family didn't know anything about how finances work or any of that, unless you apply yourself to that, you're going to operate under the same ignorance and you're going to follow the same pattern. You understand what I'm saying? And so
even
when we're looking at things from this perspective, from a biblical perspective, I love it because the reason why we're looking at the history of something, but it's all details, it's all stories, it's all related. Even when we get to what they call the New Testament, it's all conversations about things that happen. These are things for us to be able to identify and to know, okay, this is what I should do, this is what I shouldn't do. This is what, because I'm saying, at the end of the day, if I learn that I should be not in a particular area to do a particular thing, and I probably shouldn't go this far either. You know, when we get into our teenage years, that's when we get into that place where we start making those little concessions, like, okay, well, you know, I can kiss you, but don't touch me. You know what I mean? It's just all of those little things are opened up because of the things that we learn. But when I heard you saying it yesterday, what I thought about was this orange house that was a forbidden place, quote unquote. It's forbidden, but I can stand on the porch. It, the inside of the place is forbidden, but the porch is not off limits. Just because it's visual, but the porch is not off limits. Because the porch is close to the door. You understand what I'm saying? The sidewalk is going to be less close to the door than the porch is going to be. So if I can't go inside, I'm probably at the door of something that I can't go into. I don't know. It was really just It was just doing something to me yesterday, Prophet. It was really doing something to me. I was like, these are these little things. And it don't seem like it's a big deal. But if it's something that we learn to do, then we maintain that stuff that we were soaking up, you know? And as we're growing older, we use those tools, the tools.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's in our toolkit. You know, don't go in the door, but go to the door.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
So yeah.
That's working on me yesterday. I was like, this orange house is really vexing me right now. It's really vexing me. Because it was the house, the one house on the block that, and I'm sure you guys weren't just allowed to go into anybody's house, but it was the one house that the conversation was on.
Yeah, it just stood out. I was thinking even last night, I was like, I'm gonna call my aunt, ask them if she remembers, you know, because most times, you know, back then, we knew everybody that was on the block, you know, you knew the families, you know.
Yes.
So I'm going to ask her if she remembers the name, because it was another white man, a Caucasian man on the block. And I remember that we went over to his house with my uncle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that the other family, we weren't allowed to go inside. And it's like, you know, and I don't know if there was some history with some rivalry or something. I don't know. But even if it was that, we probably couldn't go on the porch. So I don't know if it was even that. It was just the fact that maybe we just wasn't, I don't know. I don't know what their reasoning was. But like I said, and then when we went to this other man's house, we were with my uncle. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't just go over there either. So, you know, there was provisions of where if we went somewhere or inside somewhere, we had to be with our aunt or uncles, you know. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was one particular, and it was weird because I was like, why is this house standing out to me? Why did I just see myself just standing at the door of this house, and it was just on the porch, like why am I on the porch of this orange house? And then I started remembering, oh, we couldn't go inside. Oh, okay. And I remember it was a Caucasian family there. And I remember we played with them very, very, you know, very little. Yeah, it was very little. But we could talk to them. And we were allowed to be on the porch because even the family, you know, was like, they didn't allow us inside either, but we could be on the porch talking. So, I don't know. Come and think about it now, it is weird. Like, we probably should not have been on the porch.
Right, you know? Right. I mean, that's what was really vexing me yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
Like, how do those two things go together?
Yeah, because the other families, like I said, you know, well, we didn't go in many of their homes either. Not inside. I was probably only two or three families, maybe we went inside, but most of the times we didn't go inside the neighbor's house. We didn't go inside of many of them. We didn't
right.
go inside.
Right.
Like I said, it was probably on two or three of them. So that really, that part right there really is not that weird, but it was just more of, I guess the kids couldn't come out was more the thing that, you know, to be looking at. They, you know how you have some families, like my aunt, one of my aunts did that with her kids. Like she kept them locked up. Like she kept them inside the house, to where when she brought them out, they were afraid of people. They were afraid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like she sheltered them, you know, to where they stayed. And then, you know, as they grew up, they became really, really they're hardcore street people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Her sons are hardcore street people. Like she locked them up so much to where she made them very rebellious, you know,
mm-hmm.
because they weren't exposed to being around family, being around people. In her mind, she's protecting them, but that type of protection backfired. It
mm-hmm.
make her daughters, I won't say they wild, but she got a wild one, you know. And I don't know about the other two. I know that they, you know, everybody got their history, but her sons are more prominent. The daughters are silent about the stuff that they do. But my mindset, is if the sons are wilding out, the girls are too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
now the other thing that was like in my mind, and you know, we have to walk through these things. We're dealing with prophetic things. We got to walk off the back, understand everything that's being spoken to her, everything that we're seeing or hearing at the moment.
That's deep. I appreciate it.
You know,
yeah, I appreciate
because
that. It's good to break down
one of
like
the
that.
One of the things that was also on my mind was when you said orange door and it was a brick house, what I thought of was fire when you said orange door, right? But then I thought about the house being brick and that the and that how brick holds heat.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, then you come back this morning and you're talking about how your aunt used to shelter her kids and when they came out they were rebellious. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking about this fire. I'm thinking about hell, right? And I'm thinking about being released from a form of captivity that brings about a level of rebellion. Now, I don't know, I mean, saving the fact that we know that the children of Israel were in a really heated situation. But they put themselves
in. And that's true, and they were very rebellious.
They were very rebellious because they were in captivity. The thing about The thing about it is that the father's intention, and there's the feedback going on. I don't know if you got on speakerphone or what it is, but it's really feedback.
Okay.
The father's intention in bringing them out again and taking them the way that he took them was so that they would identify with something other than their pain, other than their trauma. Because that pain and that trauma produces a hardness. It produces an insensitivity. And uncaring, unconcerned. You know, you can become numb. You could be so traumatized that you go numb, that you grow numb of things instead of actually, you know, learning to respond in a way that you need to respond. You could just grow numb. I know I've been there. I think we all go through that place off and on, as a matter of fact, where, you know, you've been through so much trauma or you've endured so much. Been through so much trauma and endured so much that now you're just numb. And that's the place that the adversary is really after, because if he can get you to that place where you just grow numb, then he can just do stuff because he knows that your emotions are what you are sheltering your emotions. Not as much your heart, but you're at that point, you're more concerned about your emotion or how you feel than what things really are. So even if you've been emotionally traumatized in other situations, and now there is no drama. There's no emotional trauma. There's only love. There's only care. There's only concern. You're going to revert back to what you're accustomed to. You're going to behave in the same way that you have behaved in your trauma and in your drama, even though it's a completely different situation, different scenario. You don't make the adjustment. So when you don't make the adjustment, you don't really get the benefit of this new environment. You don't get the benefits of the new environment. And I believe that's really what the adversary's always been about. I mean, think about it. When you go all the way back to the garden, what was his, he had beef. He like, okay, they're in this garden. They got everything they need. I need to mess with his emotions. I need to talk to him about something that he might be interested in. First of all, you'll never convince me that Adam didn't want the tree, because he was there before she was, and you could never offer somebody something that they don't want. I've had people offer me weed, you know, maybe my hair is natural. I'm either wearing it in afro or I got it in, you know, locks or something. And they see me and they like, yo, sister, you smoke? You know, like that's like the question off the rip. I'm like, why? Because my hair is natural, I smoke? Like, what is that about? But there in that moment, he's like, you know, I can, you know, we can smoke or whatever. Like, I got some weed, whatever. Never interest me because I don't smoke weed. But it was something about this tree that was of interest to Adam from the very beginning. You know, because when Eve came along, that was his opportunity. I'm sure he had a conversation with her. This the father said, don't eat that, you know. But in the moment that this conversation was so convincing, And as we're dealing with conversation, all of this is about words. How we're responding to what the Father is saying is about words. What we're saying back to that, what we're listening to is about words. But he's given words that he feels like are going to impact him in a way that is impressive, or, you know, that brings an impression upon him, or that allows him to do something that he wants to do, you know? And this is what got them in that spot, was that, okay, the Father said cultivate it, but he said don't eat it, though. Everything in the garden had to be cultivated. But who's to say that in another season that he would not have another conversation with them about that? The thing is, if you allow yourself to follow an instruction that wasn't given to you, you open yourself up to things that the Father's protecting you from. So as they're going along in this wilderness position, they have seen all of the miracles. They have seen all of the strength and the might of Yah. Probably not all of it, but all of these things are different reflections and angles of who he is. Yet when someone has a conversation with them, after they looked over into the land, these people brought back the grapes that were the size of men's heads. Like, it took more than one man to carry the grapevine. You know what I mean? So we're talking about this place is cultivated. It's got everything that we need, yet we're going to find something negative to say about it. That's that mentality of the Reubenites. I need to change the narrative, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that the Father brought up to me was this. You got to think about this. When they got to the land, and were ready to cross over, it was Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh that was like, I'm going to read it to you. They were like, you know what? Here we go. Numbers, well, it repeats itself in Numbers chapter 32. Okay, Numbers chapter 32, let's go there. I want to go there real quick. Numbers chapter 32. There's a conversation here that they have with Moshe. Now, this is, they done went in, they done spied it out, they done said everything negative they was going to say about it. And here they go. They say this. Verse 1, now the children of Reuben, which is who we are, right? And the children of Gad had very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle, the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake to Moshe and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth, Dibon, Jazer or Yazir, and Nimrah, and Heshbon, and Eleah, and Shebam, and Nebo, and Beon, even the country which Yah smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle. Listen to this. It's a land for cattle, and we got cattle. Check this out. Check out the reasoning here. We're looking around at this area, all these different cities, and we saying this land right here, this is a land for cattle. And I said, if we have found grace in thy sight, they're talking to Moshe, let this land be given unto thy servants for possession. Check out the next part, though. And bring us not over Jordan. What's on the other side of Jordan, of the Jordan? The promise, right?
Wow.
Think about this for a minute.
So they trying to settle for this. They trying to settle
first
for
of all,
a place that's not right.
Yes. First of all, they're settling, but they haven't considered anybody else in their settling. Just themselves. Now this is after they went and saw the land, brought back the grapes, said it is a land flowing with milk and honey. Absolutely, you're right. However, it's giants over there. Now in chapter 32, they want to settle, but understand, they asked for this because that's a rehearsal of it. They asked for this before they crossed over. They asked for it. You know, some of the things are just rehearsals or, reiterations of something. This is what they wanted to settle.
Why, like I saw a vision of somebody whispering in somebody's ear.
Yes. Yes. Yep, yep, yep. Understand where they were. There were giants there that had been overcome already. So how are we feeling some kind of way about going into this promise? Because they found a reason. I don't think it was as much about the giants as it was that we like where we are. Right now where we're standing, this is good for us. Because notice, they emphasize this is a land for cattle, and we got cattle. Check that out. Go figure, right? What's the odds of that? Mm-hmm. This land is a land for cattle, and we got cattle. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go together.
Mm-hmm.
So now this whispering, this conversation that they're having is all about really what they want, which is to settle. So if I'm going to settle, I don't want to see you advance.
That's true.
If I'm gonna settle, why would I want you to advance? Why would I do that? If I'm going to settle, why should you advance? If I don't want to go into the promise, why should I encourage you? Because I don't see the promise as practical. I don't see it as valuable or beneficial, even though this is what y'all said. So I want you to just get a picture and an understanding of the place that they're speaking from. I'm going to open up the line because maybe you have another perspective about where they're speaking from or an example. Because
well, it's just like you said. They got comfortable.
Hmm.
They simply got comfortable. You know, and then sometimes we experience, you know, we want to run and be afraid of the unknown heavens, but continue to live in the known hells. Because we become accustomed to what we're dealing with. When it comes to something new that we haven't experienced, we don't know what to expect, so we become afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
therefore, we'll instead of us going on into the newness of life, we'll settle for what we've already been in.
Mm. But that's what separates faith from fiction. Because you can believe a thing but not have faith for it. Oh, sure, that could be that. Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, but my faith is not with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you only, whatever your faith is in is the thing that your heart is toward, and where your heart is, your treasure is. You know, that's what your life is going to stem from and come from. That's what you're going to manifest. They're like, promise?
Also, faith without works is dead, and maybe they weren't willing to do the work to get to do the work that it takes to be there.
I don't doubt that. Well, you know what's funny about that is that it didn't play out that way. Because Moshe said to them, "Bet, I'm going to go talk to the Father about it." Comes back and he says, "Here's the deal. You can have the land you're in right now. That's fine. That's what y'all want to do. So the Father's willing to let you stay in where you want to stay. That's what people get so confused about. He's willing to let you stay in your comfort zone. If that's where you want to be. There has to be a desire to go to promise. He's not forcing promise on you. He just keeps presenting it to you. He'll present promise, but he's not going to force it. Right? He's not going to force them to do it. But he comes back and he says, okay, bet. That's fine, but how about this? Had you considered your brethren? The fact that they've got to go into the land? And if you can go over and fight with your brothers and make sure they get into their possession, then you can come back and have what you asked them for. They still had to wind up going into fight. Crazy thing is that chapters back, at the beginning of the book, the conversation about the divisions and setting up and 1,000 men out of each tribe, so 12,000 warriors, just for battle. But check out the number, 12,000? That's all? I never thought about that until, like, this 12,000? He didn't do, like, okay, it's millions of us, so we're going to do a million. No, he said, give me 12,000. 12,000. Not the whole nation, not all the warriors, but the 12,000. That says to me that the Father don't even need what you think he needs to get you where you're going.
I was about to say their perspective of what they thought they was going to have to do to possess the land was more so what I think what they were trying to avoid. Because anytime we go into a situation, we can perceive a thing of how it may have to be done to obtain or ascertain it or to maintain it, you know. It's mm-hmm. like, okay, we can get there, but can we maintain it? You know, can we do this? And so I think that their perception of what it was going to take to go over into, and that's why they were saying, this giants over there, are we going to have to fight these giants? Like, we can't beat them, you know. So they like, well, can we just stay here, you know.
But what's crazy is that they had already fought giants, and the land that they were trying to possess, they had already fought the Og and the king of all of Bashan in Og. They had fought all of that.
It still didn't stop them from being afraid again.
With all Bashan, which was called the land of giants. That was the land. Mm-hmm. They were actually trying to live in a place that was called the land of giants.
Mm.
So they had already fought here. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 3. I'm going to show you something.
Okay.
Verse 1. Then Deuteronomy chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Then we turned and went up the way to Bashan, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us, he and all his people, to battle at Edrei. And Yah said unto me, fear him not, for I will deliver him and all his people and his land into thy hand, and thou shalt do unto them as thou didst unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dealt in Heshbon. So Yah, our God, delivered into our hands Og also, the king of Bashan, and all his people, and we smote him until none was left to him remaining. And we took all his cities at that time. There was not a city which we took not from them. 60 cities. How many is 60? That's 60 cities. All the region of Argob, the kingdom of Og in Bashan, all these cities were fenced with high walls, gates, and bars, beside unwalled towns, a great many, and we utterly destroyed them, as we did unto Sihon, king of Heshbon, utterly destroying the men, women, and children of every city, but all the cattle and the spoil of the cities we took for a prey to ourselves. So check this out. Not only are the cattle that we possess a result of the wars that we fought, but now we're going to make the thing that was given to us as an inheritance the reason why we're not going to cross
over. This
rabbit hole goes deep. This rabbit hole goes deep. We acquisitioned what we had by doing what the Father told us to do, by fighting, by, you know, this process. Now we have acquisitioned this. We have all these cities. Notice verse 5, it said all these cities were fenced with high walls, gates, and bars. Not only have we already dealt with giants, but we've dealt with cities that had high walls, gates, and bars. And we utterly did that. Just as we did Sihon, king of Heshbon. Then we took for prey to ourselves the spoils of the city. Now we're going to take this thing that was given to us as an inheritance from what we fought, from the place that we were called to get through, to access these or acquire these, this real estate. We're going to take the fruit of that, the cattle, and say, we got cattle. We don't need to cross over into promise. We're satisfied where we are. Go back to the thing that you said again, because that was so powerful. The settling thing, the thing about the settling. You said we would rather, I want you to repeat the, we would rather reject living in heaven. What was the thing?
Yeah, we would. It's like you're fearing the unknown heavens. So you're rejecting the unknown heavens to stay in the known hills.
Golly. That's good. That's good. We got
to
be mindful.
So they look for even reasons to stay. They look for reasons to even stay to convince the people or Moshe to allow them to stay. Well, we got cattle, and you know these all this stuff they ascertained because of what the father told them to do. So even the more it's like, okay, you tired or you fearful? You know, it's something behind that wanting to stay in the land that he did not promise for you to settle. You know, what's making you want to settle is my question. Because don't get me wrong, because I know a lot of times we can reason ourselves out of what our promises are because we get comfortable. You know, just when you reside in a place in a place in your mind, you know, you reside in a place and it's like, okay, well, I can do this. I continue on this. But then you have this urgence, you know, this urging you to, you know, go further, to do something different and to come out of that comfort zone. You know, that mindset of being in a comfort zone, it's like, okay, you know, you have to do something different and you don't want to because you have become comfortable. But even in that comfortability, you set up a false sense of security because the false sense of security says that I'm going to be able to keep this. I'm going to be able to maintain what I got already. Or, you know, like they were saying, like, we had this land for cattle. We have cattle. So why can't we just stay here, you know? And so it was like, well, yeah, you want to stay. You want to settle. You want to, you know, deal with this. But like you said, he said, when Moshe came back down and said, have you even considered your brethren? Have you considered that they may want to go over, that they may want to live there? You know, they want to, they want their promise. They don't want to settle. So you help them fight. Yeah, you help them fight to get what they want. And then you can come back and stay here. And so then it was like, well, the thought process could be like, well, dang, well, if I got to fight anyway, I'm just going to go then, you know?
Yeah, that wasn't their mindset. They still wanted what they wanted. But when you said the thing that you said, it's a false. It came to my mind because it's a false unknown. It's false knowing of an unknown is what I'm trying to say. Because you think that. You know because it's something that you've known, but still you have no clue what's going to come out of it. You don't have control over the known in this unknown place that you think you know. You don't really have control. It's a false sense of something because just because you're comfortable with what you think you know about it doesn't mean that there's no insecurity there, that everything is secure.
Correct.
Because anything could pop off at any moment when we're not where we're supposed to be. Thus, we see that with the mentality, oh, well, you brought us out here to kill us. Really? Why y'all keep saying that? You know? Okay, if I move my hand, then what? Okay, so you see I'm not here to kill you, right? Because these fiery serpents came out. They bit you. I was protecting you from the fiery serpents, dummy. You know? Like, all of this stuff is what I'm protecting you from. It's out here already. So that's why it's a false sense of unknown, because it's still unknown.
Yes.
So it's not, it takes a lot more energy to sit in a false sense of an unknown than to step into a direction that you, that the Father's calling you into. But for some reason, because we've lived in that false state, we just gravitate. We gravitate, you know? It's the craziest thing. You can say to somebody, you know, you're healed, and they're like, yeah, just pain, though. That's a reality. You're like, wait a minute now. No, he said, by his stripes, you were healed. So that means you're going to have to catch up to what already happened.
Mm-hmm.
This already is done. You're just mm-hmm. what was done. So what am I doing that has me outside of something that already took place? To go get the replay or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me go look at the video. Was it recorded? Because I need to go look at it. Because I'm outside of what already took place. If he said that, then that's what he meant. You know? If he said you go into the promise, then that's where you're going. And he took them there. He literally took them there. This bow hanging on the castle, was that thing was high, how high up was that thing? Was that one of those things that was up at the top of the castle where the bow?
Yeah,
was
they were at the top. You know, you got the ones yep. that are had the, they got the flag. Get out of here.
Yeah.
You got the ones that have the flat square edge top, and then you got the ones yep. that got the point, the flat edge square around the point. So yep. this is one of the ones that didn't have a point on it. Mm-hmm. So they're pretty high. They're you know, those are the top of the castle.
Well, you know what takes place at the top on the walls. You know what takes place on the walls. That's where protection is.
Mm-hmm.
Protection happens
definitely
at the
because
wall.
It was a boat up there. So you know,
yes.
yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it was a boat, not bow.
Yeah,
but
was,
a boat.
It was. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was a bow. Yeah, and it was hanging on one spike, and then it was hanging on two spikes.
What you think about that, Prophet? The fact that that's a place where protection is executed. That being a place where protection is executed, that's where those that are hired to be on the wall to protect the wall, that's where they fight from. That's why the word says a city without walls is like, you know, a man without walls is like a city without walls. That's an open, it's open for war. It's open for captivity. It's open.
To me, I think it just resonates, and when you said it yesterday, I think you said, for me it was that God makes provisions for one, and then it's like, and then protection. So it's
yes.
like, it still resonates about being protected, because even with the bow being on one spike, being hanging on one spike, then it was hanging on two spikes, so it was like, the protection has been reinforced by the second spike.
Yeah. 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 There's nothing lacking in his protection, that's for sure. Nothing lacking in his protection. And that's a certainty. You know, often when we are feeling open or unprotected, it's because we're not following the directions that he gave us. You know, and I think that's one of the reasons why it's going to be necessary to go back and look at numbers from this perspective, because the thing about it is, from the beginning, he had laid some foundation that just could not be denied. It was undeniable. It was undeniable, the foundation that he laid. And this is why he was so wroth with them, so angry with them, when he's starting to deal with these conversations that have been had, because he's like, they have tempted me 10 times in this wilderness. Not once, not twice, but 10 times. They just continue to tempt me. Continue to rail accusations against me. And all I'm doing is showing them that I actually love them, that I'm actually here to protect them and save them and deliver them and all of that. The very
that
first
volume to me, it speaks volumes to me, because what comes up to me too is the sense of trust. It's trust. Right. It comes down to trust, because when you're speaking of the Father just wants to show us that He loves us and show us that He's protecting us. He's providing for us. He pulled you know, us in regards to the children out of Israel, you know, out of Egypt, and when He pulled them out of Egypt, He take them, you know, on this journey. This has been 11 days. Had they trusted, but because they kept complaining, and kept murmuring, and kept crying, it's like He kept trying to awaken them out of that mindset, and they could not let it go. Oh my God, they could not let it go. So when you can't let something go, you stay in the place of where what you can't let go of. And if you can't let go, then you're stuck. So therefore, they could not even receive what He had for them because they were so afraid. They were so traumatized, like you said. They were so caught up in bondage of the mind that they could not be set free. So even though God heard them and answered and pulled them out.
Wow.
And begin to take them on a journey to their freedom, they were so bound in their pain and in their distrust. Because again, like you said a couple of days ago, the distrust of the overhead of who the head was before, and how we got damaged, you know, how we got wounded, how we got hurt from the people that were over us before. So they couldn't let it go. They couldn't. So to me, it came all the way down to bottom line, with to trust. I hear you, Father. I just don't trust you. I don't believe you. I want to. I'm afraid to, but I don't believe you. And wow. So it's like you can even lie to yourself to say you believe the Father, but you don't, because
that's
your
truth
actions
right
still saying that you they're still saying that you don't trust. So
that's the truth right
that
there.
And then that goes into what you said about the word of Father, help our unbelief. I know you can do this, and you're showing me time and time again that you're here, you're protecting me. But Father, help me. My thing is not really help my unbelief anymore. Now I'm changing to Father, help my mindset change about letting go. Help me let go of what the memory was of the pain that's keeping me from you. Help me to let go of what's keeping me from you.
Yeah.
Man, speaking to me. That's speaking to me.
Yes. Tell me to let go. And He says, in turn, my word is a washer. You'll be renewed in the spirit of your mind by my word. The washing of the water of the word is what purifies. You know, it's like He gives us all of these things that are our weapons and our recourse for us to rebound, but we resort to fear and unbelief. Like, I mean, you know, it's the craziest thing, because then another season, I had to fight a little bit more, right, to get to certain things. Like in another season, if you guys are particularly aware of something that I'm walking through now, right, in another season, season, the Father made sure
breaking up
was
I don't know if you're moving around or whatever, but you keep breaking up a lot.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. In another season, I can remember temporarily being without a recourse. In this season, the Father said, I'm going to take you this way, but this time you're not going to not have a recourse. You need. So he gave me what I need to do, I did what I need to do. I arrived in that place, which meant now I'm continually using a resource, right, that you gave me to do this thing. In the midst of that, I was to obtain or acquisition nothing that I need, which you provided, right? It looks like the resource is dwindling. So now I have a decision to make. Am I going to start getting in fear now? Like, Father, now come on now. These are the kind of things we say, right? Come on now. You gave me this, and now it's all being spent doing this. And he like that's the only resource to provide for you. Like that's the only, like that only came from one place and it ain't no more. Think about it.
Come on.
It's all this. And what you need to sustain you. Elijah at the brook. I'm at the brook, Father. The crows are feeding me. The ravens, they're feeding me. Oh, God, they done stopped feeding me, and the brook done dried up. Not a problem, Elijah. There's a widow woman there to sustain you. You know what I'm saying? We got all of these situations and scenarios, and yet we get in a situation and we act like we don't know what we're supposed to do. We act like we don't know. All of these examples for our learning.
Because fear still comes in and takes what you, your focus. Fear comes in. And that's the thing. That's the part where, you know, I get that we experience it because it's an emotion. But I think, again, when it comes down to the emotional part of things, when the fear does come up, or our issues come up, and we got to contend with the thing, I just think that we have to get to a place where we can understand this is an emotion. This is an emotion. This is not.
It's not a reality.
Like,
it's an emotion.
Yes. Yes.
I'm gonna say that again. It's not a reality. It's not my reality.
Yes.
It's an emotion. It's how I'm responding to things that are stimulating me in a specific way. Doesn't make it real or even true. It may be a fact that I'm being stimulated this way, but it doesn't make that situation it doesn't make it true or my reality.
And that's the part of, we have to remember that, because sometimes we perceive our feelings as our emotions as a true, like this is it.
This is
our
real
reality. This is it. Yeah. Whereas once you allow yourself to sit in your emotions and get to and let it ride out. Just sit in it. Just sit. Okay, I'm feeling this way. Why am I feeling this way? And you know, not even a thought. Just let your emotion be what it is. Okay, I'm afraid right now. Okay, I'm afraid.
Or I'm mad, or whatever it is.
And I'm angry right now. And I'm angry, sad, and mad, and fearful. Okay, I'm feeling all of this.
Oh,
I'm feeling all this. Sad, mad,
angry.
Mad, you know. I'm angry, I'm fearful, I'm doubtful. You know, okay, I'm feeling all of this. But I got to allow myself to feel it, because if I don't, I keep suppressing it as we've been taught to do.
Mm-hmm.
All it's going to do is later on, it's still going to come out. It's going to come out a different way. It's still going to come up. No, it's still going to come up and come out another way, because it always still has to come out. It always comes out one way or the other. So I'm just like saying that whenever that fear comes up, like your mind can go blank because I was in this class yesterday and they were talking about it. They said there's three things. It's your fight or flight.
Yeah.
And then the third thing is fright. Because fight or flight means I'm a fight or I'm a flee. But sometimes you be so afraid you get froze, you stuck. And then when you froze or you can't think. You can't think, I don't know what to do. And you just freeze. So that's fright.
Yeah.
So now we're coming into the area of fright. Now you don't know what to do. You can't think straight. So, and that's the part of, let me remember, I'm just having an emotion. I'm having an emotion, and this is not, you know, I'm not dying right now. You know what I'm saying? This is not the end.
Right. absolutely right. Absolutely right. This is a real place. And this is why we're being taken this way, because there are some things that the Father has called us to that are so big. I mean, when I sit and think about some of the things that he's saying to me and has said to me over the season, that now he's saying to me, we're in this season. The season we were talking about, we're in that. Now, this is what the next move is. Now, this is what we're doing. And then you have these issues of life that come up, right? And so in the issue of life, you have to decide, you know what? This is a proving ground. This is an identification of where my strength is now. This is an identification of who I know him to be and who I am. So I'm going to stay true to that right now. I'm not getting ready to bow. I'm not getting ready to break. I may be bent a little bit, you know? Like you feel that, you know how the wind just kind of blow you a little bit? I'm on the way with this. Mm-mm. I'm going to have to stand my ground. That's a decision. The decision has to be made. And until the decision is made, that's what the adversary's whole purpose is to keep attempting to get you off of that place of certainty and decision and finality. And this is that stance. That's what he's trying to affect. He's trying to affect stance. That's what he's after. So why is he going through all these changes with the children of Israel? First of all, he want to make the father out to be a liar, which he ain't never going to wind up being. Because you see, he killed the first batch, but the babies went in. He said, the ones that you said was going to be prey, no, those are the ones I'm keeping. I'm letting them go in. You, on the other hand, will be prey. You, on the other hand, that's going to be a problem. I'm letting Elder in right now. So the phone don't trip. Don't trip. She's having a problem in the morning.
Hello?
There you go, Elder.
Who?
I got you in there. If you need to put it on mute on your end, you can.
I don't need to be on this phone, though. Well, let me just say what I got to say and get off of this phone.
Okay,
I want to speak on something I just heard a few minutes ago about, something about resources.
Yes.
Well, my thing with that, when I believe, and from some of my own experiences, I believe when the Father gives us resources, like, you know, if it's something he lays on you to do, then you got to do it. Now, I know for me, something that when he gave me some resources, I started thinking about this one and that one and that one and this one, and that's what I did.
Yeah.
But I made sure I put something aside for some of the other things that was not just for me but for others, okay?
Yeah.
And then what I found out is that, when he give you resources, if you don't put them in the right spots, then guess what? You're going to look up, and it ain't going to be no more of a resource. So not that he didn't give it to you. He gave it to you, but that's just like he'll provide your need. Now, when he provides for you what you need, if you don't take care of your need and you take care of everything else, then guess what?
He did
what he said he was going to do.
That's
but
right.
Did we, as the people that he gave to, did we do what we said we were going to do?
That's right. That's right.
So when you turn around and look, because I went through that a time in my life, like, you know, I was that person that I wanted to help everybody. I knew I wasn't God, but, you know, let put something in my hand and you would have thought I thought I was God. Because I want to take care of everybody instead of letting him do his job.
Yeah.
And then when it came time for me, I had like a handful of people that I could go to.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me that one time to learn that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you're a giving person, it's hard to say no. But I also learned, if you remember, you preached that a few years ago.
Yes, ma'am.
Being in that no season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's necessary at times. I had to tell somebody that I love very much yesterday, I don't care what it is that you do and what you have. You also have bills and things of your own that you have to take care of. If you take that flashing spirit away that unfortunately you have from your daddy, you
mm-hmm.
will be okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have to live up to nobody's expectations but God and your own.
That's right.
You know, and I had to tell the person, listen, you in a situation right now that you walking through it. You're doing okay. You're walking through. But when you get all the way through, don't go back to the things that got you where you're at.
Yes, ma'am. You know, that was the master's conversation all the time. You know, the healing part's not the hard part. It's maintaining it.
Absolutely.
This is like he would always say, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to fix it. But you need to understand how you got here. And when you identify with how you got here, that's the don't do.
There you go. Yes.
As you know what to do, this is the don't do.
Right.
You know.
I had to tell a co-worker. I'm sorry. Go ahead, finish.
Go ahead. I said that's powerful, Elder. Go ahead.
I had to tell a co-worker today. She was going through, you know, I listened to her. I let her say what she had to say. I said, well, I'm going to see you another full weekend after that. I'm going to go down to 2 days. She said, oh, my God, how are you going to survive? I said, the same way I was surviving before I got here. I said, and see, I said the thing with me, I said, even though God blessed me with this job isn't my source.
Come on now. It is not.
Good morning, young man.
That's what happened when you well known.
That's right. God bless you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. So I had to, you know, I had to tell her, like, my source is the Father. I said,
mm-hmm.
I don't care if I have one day or if I have 15 days. He's still going to provide for me.
That's what he does.
I said, because that's what I believe and that's what he's going to do. Because he's been doing. He showed me. I didn't go into detail with her with my story. But I told her he has already showed me. Now, he'll give me all the things. He promised that he'll give you what you need according to his riches and glory. You might not get everything you want.
The way you want.
And then some things that you think you need, you might not get them either because guess what? You really don't need them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I had to say something, and I was trying to figure out how to. I kept calling. I called in 8 times.
Oh, wow. Well, you know,
yesterday
Prophetess Vontina said the Father's word to her was persistence, and because she tried to call in too and got rejected, and then another time it said that we weren't on, and then another time she got on and it knocked her off. Well, we know about that.
Well, I called 8 times back to back.
She would tell you that we used to call into the prayer line over and over and over. We get on the line. I'll be in prayer. And get dropped out and have to call back 6-7 times, you know. Okay. Yeah, we are familiar with that kind of opposition.
I called 8 times, and then I called your number, and didn't get an answer. That's when I texted, saying, you know what? Because it just went, I had just, because I'm online, but it kept dropping, and then you could see I was moving, doing what I had to do. And as soon as I got online, I'm saying, Apostle, could you mute me? But what I realized that you didn't even hear me say that. because I was online. So I'm good now.
That's funny. Yeah, that's good stuff. When you're listening to it from online, are you saying anything?
Yeah.
You good. You just listen to a live broadcast. It's only when you call the phone that you can be heard.
Good.
The line is
open. I figured that out today. That's when I was telling you yesterday. I didn't want it with all these trucks going in and out. But you guys couldn't hear them anyway, so I was good. But as soon as I move, sometimes when I move around, like right now, I'm in this spot till 10 o'clock. So once I move around, then if we're still on, then I might have a little issue here and there. But, yeah,
right.
I just have to go back online, that's all.
Elder, I want you to go back to the thing about he's already showed me, because this is the PowerPoint. This is a PowerPoint. Yesterday when I was sharing that, when the Father was showing us things before, you know, when we were going through these different trials, these different things that he brought us through, he brought us out of, and we didn't see that for what it was. We didn't see it as him bringing us out. We saw it as us winning or us overcoming or whatever, you know, obstacle. I jumped over that obstacle, but that's not the same as understanding that it was the Father that gave me the strength to leap over that.
For me, he did it. He did it for me.
Mentality. Go back to that place where you said what you said, because I think many people need to hear the story that you're talking about, because when you say my job is not my source, that messes with people, or not even my resource. It may be a resource, but it's not the only resource. And I was just sharing that I was saying, Father, you gave me this, and now I'm in this place that you provided for me, because you didn't want me to just be without. So you made sure I had what I needed because you saw what was coming. And now my next cry is, well, do you want me to do all the resource in this spot? And he's like, that's the only resource. Like, you think that's the answer because you're using it for something that you know what I'm saying? I provided for you. So you're not going to run out of provision. As long as you don't run out of this.
I also think that we as a people, even on what you just said, because even though you did certain things with your resources, but I think we as a people, we need to, even if we got to fast, pray, talk to them, whatever, before we even do it, because what we may think, okay, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, because you're looking at a situation where you may be at, but that might not even be what he wants you to do. He might want you to do something whole, totally different that's going to continuously bring in resources to you for things that we may have used the resources for.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that wasn't me. That was him. Just now.
Yeah. That's a good word. That's a good word.
Yeah, because I know for me, a while ago, I'm talking about years ago now, even before I met you, Apostle, I was in an accident, and I was really into my photography heavy then. And my plan was, when I got paid, I was going to buy all this photo equipment so I would have everything I needed, because I had started school for photography. And the money didn't come right away. But when it came, I did everything but that. But I still was taking pictures. I was making money taking pictures and doing my pictures. Mm-hmm. But had I gotten the things that I needed, I wouldn't have had to spend money for development and stuff. But then the kick to that was, would I have taken out the time to go into the dark room and do the developing all that? At that time, no, I wouldn't have done it, because my mind was totally somewhere else. In that case, even though I had decent cameras, I still was making money. But I could have set myself up for the future. But guess what? The way my life moved, had I bought that stuff, I wouldn't have used it anyway. it would have just been a whole bunch of stuff that I would have had that I probably would have been looking around for somebody to sell it to get my money back. You know, so on that time, in that time of my life, I thank God that even though I thought that's what I should have done, I didn't do it. I did. I went a whole nother route. I thank God for that. But then there was another time that I should have followed suit and did that, but I did something else. Because I can look at times in my life that, I mean, money has gone through my hands.
We were talking about that the other day, and it's funny because I want you to pose that question. Because if you really, as a person, as an individual, do you know that most people that are listening to me right now that are in the USA, I'm only going to deal with the USA. I'm not going to deal with you guys that are listening to me from over the water and stuff because I don't know how your economy is set up, so I can't speak to that concerning you. But I can speak to this concerning people in the USA that are 50 or better. If you really could calculate the amount of money that went through your hands from the time you started making money, I guarantee you, you're well over millions of dollars. I can guarantee it. Millions of dollars have gone through your hands. You just didn't know what to do with the money when you got it. So you blew it. You didn't have a plan. Your relationship with money was not an intelligent relationship. So,
not only did we not have a plan, even like in my case, being a single parent and with no help from his father. So I was doing both. Thank God for my family that was there to support me, because for child care and other things that I would have had to put out, they were there for me, even though I still helped out and gave. But had I had to go outside of that circle, I would have had to put out more than that. But see, that's all, like you say, a lot of things we as a people weren't taught and still haven't been taught. Not just weren't, still haven't been taught and just don't know. And what it say, for lack of knowledge, we perish? We perish?
That's it. My people
and that's the truth, because when you don't know something, like something can be right there in front of your eyes. Where can keep you afloat and keep you up on but you don't know, and you don't know what to do with it or even how to do it.
You don't have a value for it. You're not aware of that. That's not been your reality. You know? It's not been your reality. But I love your story, particularly when you talk about how you were working your job. I want you to just give a little bit of that testimony this morning. We're still talking about this dark psychology piece, but we had to make a deviation because we really was going to read, and we're going to read this week. Because I want to
see
guys
your ID.
Huh?
Talk to this guy. He keeps coming. He's coming and looking at me, so I had to walk right in front of him just because I don't have a cone up. So, With me, when I said, I told the lady my source and he showed me. It was a period in my life that I had come out of work. I was on disability. I was bringing in about $2,200 a month. Had my own place. But I was in the process of moving from one senior place to another. And I didn't have to move, but I moved to support my child, because prior to that move, times when he was at work, he had to leave work numerous times because my granddaughter's mother or her other grandmother was supposed to pick her up, and they didn't, and he was getting calls on his job. And he had to go get her. So when he decided to make this move, I had already, and see that, again, to me, that was God, because before he even made that move, I had already put in applications in senior places closer to the area where he moved to. And I was like, I found it so funny at that time that this one that I went to, I didn't know nothing about that. And after I moved there, a month later, one of the other ones called me. But, you know, I couldn't break the lease. Nevertheless, I moved got my got the place. I took part of my money that I had put aside and paid part of the I took the rent that was going to be for the following month, and I paid part of the security, and I was waiting for my check to come to pay the other part. Excuse me, other security for the new place that I was moving to. So when they let me move in a week early, and I moved in. So by this second week coming, my check should have came. I'm like, well, check never came. I made a couple calls. Well, I didn't get my check. Could you tell me what's going on? I didn't hear nothing right away. So then when I found out, they stopped my checks. I had had a fall, and I couldn't go to therapy. So because I couldn't go to therapy, they stopped my checks. So then, and a little bit, but let me show you how the father works. I want to say a month or so before this happened, I had applied, I was told to apply for partial Social Security, disability Social Security. So I did that. I was getting $448 a month from them. When this happened, I'm waiting on my money to give them the other part of the security.
Yeah, $2,200.
When this happened, I'm waiting on the other part of the $2,200. And it never came. So when I made a couple calls to find out, I find out then that that was stopped because I stopped therapy. So now I'm like, okay, well, what am I going to do with this other part of the security? Because I owed them over $1,000. Okay. So now we got this prayer line every day. And this lady that's apostle, like she realizing that I ain't saying nothing, I ain't worshiping, I ain't doing this. So she said, "Well, Elder, what's wrong with you?" I said, "Nothing." She said, "Something wrong." So then she says, "Well, you got food in your cabinets?" I said, "I do." Car outside, it is. By the way, my car note was $460-some alone.
Come on, and that was still more than what you was bringing in.
Okay, and so she, you know, she take me through all that. She said, "Well, if he provided it for you, then what made you think he won't do it now?" On some real stuff, y'all, I didn't want to hear that. Because that's her talking. But I'm the one that got this thing over my head that I got to deal with.
That's it.
So I say, yeah, okay. So you know, I'm still listening on the prayer line. So I went to the office, and I told the lady, I said, "Well, miss, I found out that the check that I was waiting for to pay the other part of my security, I'm not going to get." She looked at me. She said, "Well, what you want me to do?" I said, "I don't know what you're going to do. I'm just communicating with you and telling you what's going on, because you, like me, was expecting a check so I could pay the other part of my security." So another lady, she steps in there throwing around, "Well, why don't you just go back where you came from?" I said, "What?" I said, "Well, the God that I served didn't bring me here to send me back."
Come on now.
And then the other lady, she says to me, she's sitting there with a Bible open, and she says to me, hold on a minute, this ain't who I think it is.
Okay.
Hi. You're not who I thought you were. Okay, well, you got to turn around and go out here and go over here. Back up some, please. Okay, back up some, please. I'm going to show you where you got to go at. Back up. And I'm going to open this cone right here so you can pull over here by this stop sign. Whoever Joseph is,
love y'all.
He got to come to
you. Okay, Posey, love you.
Thank you. Okay, so to make a long story short, y'all, because now people are starting to come in, I had my income had changed tremendously, and with my income changing tremendously, I was only getting $448 a month. With that $448 a month, I didn't know what I was going to do. And thanks be to the words of encouragement that were given to me, I just prayed more, and
God worked it out. I got money from this agency. Not only did they give me money, they gave me food, boxes of food. When the holiday came, they supplied me with money, food on the holiday. And then by the time my security from the other place came, that picked up my stuff. Now, the lady was overcharging me because my income had changed. That's another part of the story that came months later. And I had told her, I said, well, shouldn't my rent be, decreased now that my income has changed? Oh, no. This is what you got to pay. This is what you came in here with. So coming in there with one thing and having another thing is two different things. So guess what? Months later, she came to me, too, where she had overcharged me. So, but the bottom line is why I said God is my source, because out of that $448, that's all I was getting. My rent ended up getting paid. I had ongoing groceries to eat. My car was never repossessed or anything. I still had that car up until just recently when I had to trade it. Mm-hmm. All that took place. So I just want to say, I just want to say to anybody that knows that I thank God for, because no way out of $468 a month, no, $48, my bad, a month, and my car payment was $468.
Yeah.
So, and my rent was $600 and something a month. And that's what he did it all.
Yes, he did.
And when these people from this white church, and I shouldn't have said it like that online, but that's what it was. It was a Presbyterian church in Mount Holly. They shout me. Well, actually, most of the congregation was Caucasian, but the pastor there, she was an African-American woman. But I went through that church. I went through that. Need to see your ID, Tyson. I know you, but I need to see it. I'm curious. You don't have a mask on. I'm following the procedures that I got to do. They on me camera. That's right. Thank you. Have a good one. These people here, boy, I tell you. But anyway, that's what they see. I wasn't cracking a smile.
Right.
So that church, that Mount Holly, I forgot the name of Presbyterian Church in Mount Holly, New Jersey. They came through with funds to help me, put my rent back on track. They provided me with food monthly. And the holidays, they provided me with food. And even after I moved out that area, they still called me and told me to come get some food. But I told them that I was in another district.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all what God did.
Thank you very much. So this is the reason why we don't have to fear what we consider the unknown, because if he's calling us to it, he knows it.
And you got to trust him.
Details. We just have to trust what he's saying. We don't have to know everything. Abraham didn't know. He didn't have a GPS. He didn't have a map.
Thank you.
Yeah, he didn't have all of that. He was just following what the Father was saying. And because of his follow, he reached the promised land. A lot of people don't recognize this, but Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of those people, they made it to the promised land. That's who he's referring to when he says, I told your forefathers I would give you this land. He's talking about those that already made it to the land. They already made it there. So it's a promise that's been made. It's a promise that's going to be kept. And you don't want to be those that are falling, whose carcasses fall in the wilderness. Because if you're in a wilderness place right now, that's not a negative place. It's not a negative place. We only foresee wilderness because we want things to be simple. We want things to be easy. We don't want to have to test to gain the mastery. We don't want to have to test to go to the next grade. But this is a way of life. You got to identify with what you've learned. You've been trained, so now you got to identify with what you've learned in the testing. And when the testing comes, you now utilize all that you've learned. Now, if you haven't learned anything, then you need to go back through that grade again. It's really that simple. Because his point and his purpose is to get you to a promised place. But if you need to go back through some levels to get there, then, you know, he's cool with that. He's cool with that. And ultimately, this is a word I think that I gave some years ago, but I think a lot of people are going to be under the sound of my voice. You need to recognize this, that when you come to a place where the Father's saying it's time to go into the land, that's not a time to revolt or rebel, because some are not going to make it back to a place where they can have access to the land. And then others, it'll be 7 to 10 years. He's been saying that number for some time now, over the last 4 or 5 years. He said the people that missed this season that we're getting ready to go into, it's going to be 7 to 10 years before you see another opportunity. It's going to be a while, because you're going to have to go back through your courses. You're going to have to go back through all that training. You know, it's like going back all the way back to the beginning. It's different when you're starting all over again, but not starting back from the beginning, if that makes sense. When you're starting over, you know how we say stuff like, if I knew what I knew then, okay, take me back to then, because I'm going to do it all over again and I'm going to do it differently. Does that make sense? It's different when you are starting over, but you're starting from a different perspective or starting with different information, because you're going to move through that thing a lot quicker. If you've ever heard anybody that is now rich or wealthy, they'll tell you, they'll talk about failures, right? We know in the kingdom it's really not, that's not our identity, the failure. It's our learning process. That's what we're referring to it as. It's a learning process. But they'll talk about their failures and how many times they failed. But had they kept their head down or not got up when they failed, there was something that they believed in. So it was something that they focused in on. This is the goal. And because this is the goal, okay, I failed it. I fell short of it. Let me get back in the lab. Let me go back to the drawing board. Let me go, because I have a goal and I know that this is going to work, because I saw the production of this thing. I saw what it's going to produce when it's created. Okay, so I just got to make sure all the components are working together. They kept going back. There are people that became very well, people still today. They failed thousands before they got it and that worked. They kept going. They went through processes. They worked for other people and working for other people, apprenticing for other people. They began to identify their niche. They got into places where, or started doing things that were related to where they were going, so that they could identify systems. All of this stuff is a reality. This is what the Father was doing with the children of Israel. He's like showing them, this is the kingdom system. Let me show you how my system works. Let me show you how I got it set up. Now, you are the kings and the queens. You are the royalty of this system. I want you to identify with this, that because I'm the king, you're royalty, and whatever I have, you have. I just want you to identify. I'm taking you to a place. I'm going to set you up where you dominate, where you rule, where you reign. But they couldn't stop doing anything but complaining. You could never get to a place to reign when all you do is complain, because you don't see it the way he's saying it. Doesn't mean it's not, but you just don't see it. So your cry needs to be, Father, show me, because I can't see what you're saying. And even if I can't see what you're saying, you know, the Father gave me a word many years ago, and Elder, you relate to this word because you've heard it a lot of times over the years. If you can't trace him and you can't track him, you can still trust him. You know, when you're not certain of what the Father's doing, you can't trace how he's moving, you can't track what he's actually doing, you don't really know all the, you can trust him though, because his track record is smooth, it's good. He don't have no mars or no scars on his record with you. He really don't. You might have some scars or mars on your record with you, but he does not. Because everything that he said he's going to do, he's always been positioned to do it. Now, if you walked away from a position that he's calling you to or that he promised you, that's you walking away. But he's never going to dangle a carrot in front of your face and say, I'm going to give you this or that and then not perform it. No, everything about what he's directing and instructing is about getting you to that place that he promised. And if you refuse the direction and the instructions, then you refuse the promise. It's really that simple. It is really that simple. Prophetess Fontina, what say ye? We almost done here today. You got to unmute yourself, lady.
I was pushing the thing, trying to.
He was pushing it, wasn't responding.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't responding.
What do you say about these things?
I wrote some stuff down as
Stop
we were
them.
Thinking and talking. And,
yes.
When we talk about them, for me, it's when you look at them and in the Bible, and I look, bring it up to today, it's a thing of sometimes not so much. If you can look back over your life and see where he brought you from, or the things,
yes.
some of the testimonies that you have,
yes.
that will, you know, it's like we can't forget. You got to constantly remind yourself, if he did it yesterday,
he'll do it today.
If he brought me out yesterday, it, you know, think over your
yes.
testimony.
Yes.
If he brought you out, he can bring you out of this, or he can take you through this. You know, whatever he's saying, it's a matter of us walking it out. Like you said, he's already done what he said he's going to do. So it's
yes.
a matter of us lining our mindsets up with what he said.
Yes.
Trusting and believing and walking
yes.
out what he said, doing what
yes.
he said do. Not doing
yes.
our will, but doing what he said do, following the instructions.
Come on.
Yes.
Man.
And
good.
When you was talking, when we was talking about the dream thing,
yes.
I was
yes.
writing down, you know, I kind of took it from a place of sometimes we looking for the loophole.
That. Come on, that's
close
where I was
can
trying
I get
to get to, Prophet. That's what I was trying to get to. Come on.
Looking for the loophole, the scapegoat.
Oh,
how
God.
Close can I get to
God.
The forbidden thing?
Come on.
The little foxes. You know, I wrote this and stuff. I was like, you know, how close can I get to it without, you know.
Without being guilty of it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I know you said don't go inside, but I can go to the door, right? That's
right.
Why I was struggling. I was like, this being at the door, having a conversation through the door is vexing me. Because if you,
mm-hmm.
if this is a forbidden house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then
mm-hmm.
the door is forbidden, ain't it? Ain't that the entryway to the house? But when we learn these kind of things in our youth, we absorb that.
Right.
For like that's the things that we carry over into our adulthood. I'm going to talk to y'all about, I believe it's Jonadab tomorrow, because we're going to stay on this path as we're going into the next tribe. But there's a conversation that Pat, the prophet, is telling the people to do a thing, and they're saying, we can't do that because our father said. Prophet,
mm-hmm.
like, so if the father tell you to do something, you're not going to do it. They said, absolutely not, because our daddy said. Since
right.
Jeremiah chapter 35, you'd be surprised at how people are being moved, being led by familiar spirits, familial, you know, that's what familiar is, familial things, things that we are akin to. Don't make it right because we're akin to it. It don't make it right because we saw it. It doesn't make it right because that was the case. I think I spent most of my life trying to do the opposite of what I saw. And so the enemy knew I was doing the opposite of what I saw. So he was like, okay, so you got this thing about family, right? You got this deal for having a family and raising your family right and, you know, all of these things. Okay, great. I'm just going to make sure you keep getting with the wrong person.
Right.
Because good content.
The counterfeit. The counterfeit.
Hello, good context in the wrong content doesn't matter. If good, your content is good, but if your context is wrong, how is that going to glorify the Father? How is it going to become visible to the world? How is anybody going to see it and be able to be impacted by it? You know what I'm saying? They're not. They can't be. Because ultimately the end of that thing is going to be treacherous. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be a divorce. You know, now you got to deal with people that don't, you know, there's so many things, you know. But he has to identify a way to get you to this place. The thing about the adversary is that he's in control. We are. So he's looking for an opportunity to put us in a space, because he knows we're in control, where he can get us to turn or to bow or whatever it is that he's looking for, so that he can gain the upper hand. How he's gaining the upper hand is not because he's making a thing happen, because you're actually the one making it happen. He doesn't have the authority to make it happen. That's why he's going through you to get it done. He needs a body. He can't do anything. That ought to tell you just how much he's worth right now. But he is an influencer for sure. He uses influence, definitely. He uses influence. That's what we got to be mindful of, what we're listening to. In the case of Israel, I listened to Reuben's conversation about this promised land. It ain't all that, no way. We're going to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Y'all should have the same mentality. After all that he said was over there, that is so. But look at the other stuff that we're going to have to go through to get to it. That's, ooh-wee. It is so, but it's what I got to get through, what I feel like I got to go through. But when you look at all that you've already come through, what did you go through?
Right.
He fought for you. And
if he can do it again.
Come on now. He would have fought more for you if you had to move the heck out the way. I'm talking to us now, right?
Mm-hmm.
He would have really fought more for you if you had to move out the way. But he fought for you.
And we get excited. We get excited about the word. You know, he can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think.
According
He's
to the
more
power.
Than a conqueror. Okay, when it's time to walk it out, then we need to still be quoting these, you know, bringing these things back to our remembrance.
Right. Isn't that what he said to do?
Because
we quote stuff like he'll never leave us or forsake us, but the moment he tells us to make a move and we don't understand the move, it's like, oh.
Right.
Well, what that look like?
Right. What are we saying? What are we seeing? What are we giving attention to? What are we giving attention to?
What are we giving attention to? Because the thing that we're attending to is the thing that's growing. The thing that's growing. Listen, we love y'all. I pray that you got something out of today's broadcast. It didn't go exactly the way I had planned it, but we're going to do whatever the Holy Spirit leads us to do. That's just where we're going to wind up at, and I believe we're going to always get what we need, because he came to give us daily bread. And so if this is the bread that we need today, we're not going to be like the children of Israel and say, I'm tired of this bread. Let me go ahead and do something else. Give me some quail. Give me something else. No, I'm going to need the bread that he's providing for me, because that's what's going to sustain me. We love you so much. We'll see you tomorrow here at 8 a.m. in the morning. Peace to your house, y'all. It's on the line. And listen, the body is not a me thing. It's a we thing. That's our mantra. That's what
peace.
We go by, and that's what we live by here at Kingdom
Peace.
And Love
Master. Y'all.
Love y'all more.
Love
peace.
You,
peace.